Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you again for your obedience and your diligence to God. Praise be to God for all that he has done for all of us around this call and joining in on this service this morning. We thank God for it, and I thank God for each and every one of you. As we were talking just a few minutes ago, we were talking about we're getting the meat of the word. Thoughts with that is, now that we are getting the meat of the word of God, it is time for us to start sharing that with the lost.
Yeah.
It's time for us to be bold for God, with love, in love, but it's time for us to be bold and share the word. In spite of what we feel, what we're going through, we're not getting milk or fruit and salad. We're getting the word of God, which is the meat. And as in Acts, they were spreading the news. They were spreading the gospel. They've taken the word of God throughout all different places. So are we today, because our time is short. And there's so many lost that are here. So let's go to the, in this world, I said that we're living. Let's go to God together and pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have given us not just another day, but a day to glorify and honor you today. Yesterday is gone, and tomorrow is not promised. So, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for this day. Thanking you, Lord, that we have an opportunity to praise you, to worship you, to honor you in spirit and truth, to live a life that will glorify you, Father. All that we've done yesterday, Father, we ask that if it didn't glorify you, things that we thought about, things we may have lived out, we ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would forgive us all, that you would cleanse us and wash us of all of our infirmities, Lord God, all of the sin that we have done, the transgressions we had against one another, Lord God. Cleanse us and forgive us, Father, today. And allow this time that we come to hear from you, Father, to ignite our souls, to be ready to do warfare for you. For it's all about you, Lord God. So we lift you up, and we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you, Father, because, Lord, you are a great and awesome God, and you have blessed us with this opportunity, and we thank you for it, Father. Lord, I pray for this service that everything that will be done will be for the glory of you, that every word that will be read will bring a new beginning in our lives, a new and a fresh meaning to us, Father, that we would be transformed and renewed by what we've heard and what we're trying to do. So, Lord, we bless you because we want to do your will, not ours. We have had opportunities in our lives, and we see the result of this. How did that work out for us? Not well at all. So, Father, we come to do your work today. We come to honor you today. We come to glorify you today, and we thank you for this opportunity. And we pray that, Lord, you would touch Jeanette and she brings forth your word, Lord, that you would bring a fresh and a new in her heart. Let her not he was trying to earlier, but Lord, your spirit has already spoke to her. Let the Holy Spirit have its way through her and in and out of her, Father, as she brings forth the word. Let the anointing be fresh in it. And on all that are on this call, let us, Father, receive what you have for us, for we need you. Now, Lord, we ask asking also, Father, the name that you block distractions, that you would block all chaos and all confusion. That, Lord, we'll be able to hear exactly what you want us to hear and become doers of what we hear today. We thank you for this, Lord. Father. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father. And we pray that you would have a sweet aroma in your nostrils from all that will take place today at the service, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, okay. I think somebody's got their speakerphone on. They need to kind of mute it, I think, because it's got feedback.
Okay.
Probably was Alexandra because she didn't know how to work the buttons, but I found it. I got it. Hold on.
Did that stop it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Alexandra. Sorry, guys. I have a new iPhone. Sorry.
All right. Praise God.
So we were talking last week about the conflict. We're in Acts, the 15th chapter, and we're starting at the 16th verse. It's going to get repeated throughout. And, Alexandra, I need when you read or you continue to read, just reiterate where we are when you pick up reading.
Absolutely.
I got a request for that last week from somebody who was in and out often, and they just couldn't find us. So
you got it
every time.
Thank you.
No problem.
So we're at Acts, the 15th chapter. We're starting at the 16th verse, but I'm going to talk a little bit about what we talked about last week, just to recap, to refresh our minds and bring us back so that we're back on the road where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I do that. That's the reason for it. So last week we were talking about the circumcision and how we had zealous Jews who wanted to bring circumcision back. And they want to bring it back because it's what they know, it's all they know, it's the way church is supposed to look to them.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to find leaders that as you go out, you're going to find a lot of traditional stuff that is not going to sit all that well with you. And you're also going to find that a lot of the traditional stuff isn't sitting well with anybody. And that's why the churches are empty. It seems that no matter who I speak with, I get the same rhetoric back. And it's that, oh, the church is this and the church is that. And I know the game and, you know, I'm not going to be ripped off like that. And a lot of their experiences, this is true.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, but still those rooted in it have an idea of the way it's supposed to be, and that's the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
So this person gets caught up on circumcision, and remember how Paul and Barnabas came because they were witnesses to how the Lord had poured out his spirit on those Gentiles. So they just came to witness, but they let Peter, who was the over that region, address the people. Peter and James, they were the apostles of that region. So instead of jumping ahead of them and trying to say what Paul and Barnabas have to say and start directing the people and making decisions, they only spoke what they could speak of, and they let the rest of them left the rest to Peter and James to address, because that was the person that was shepherding and feeding that group. And there's something there to learn, that you'll be going into churches and you'll see something that's a little off the cuff and you'll want to address it. And the way you address it isn't to start yapping to the person next to you or somebody who embraces you after service and say, yeah, well, you know, the pastor was way off. He was in it. Mm-hmm. I've done that. And I've asked the Lord to forgive me because I couldn't even help it. Nor did I know that there's a way that you go about this. If the pastor is off and he's saying something that's not biblical, now, and I will admit that 99% of that time I was talking to my family. I would say to my sons and Richard, if he's hearing me at the time, I'd say, you know, by the way, that's not what that scripture meant, or that doesn't line up with God's word. And I'm going to address it because I brought them there to sit under that teaching, and the teaching's wrong. But just because the pastor doesn't get it 100% right sometimes, that doesn't mean that, you know, you disrespect that pastor.
Right.
Because he's still in that position for whatever reason God sees fit to allow him to be.
Amen.
Hmm. So that's what we were learning last week, how that there's an order in which, so pastors out of pocket, it's something that seems serious, it's a salvation issue or something that could lead to a salvation issue, talk to the pastor privately. Sometimes you guys are going to go into services and nobody's going to know that you're ordained yourself. And I'm going to say 90% of the time they don't need to. But
Amen.
Understand that what God has put on you is authority.
Amen. Amen.
And this authority will allow the pastor sometimes, most of the times, to hear you. He won't know why he's listening to this strange person that walked into his church and gave him a word of correction. He won't know why he's listening. But the Spirit is the same Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So his spirit immediately knows this is the same spirit and becomes able to receive what the Lord is telling you to say if the Lord is the one telling you to say it.
Amen.
Sometimes they won't receive it, but that's on them. That doesn't mean that if God has moved you to speak, you don't also.
just reminds me of Saul and David when you say give and respect. When David had a chance to kill Saul, even though Saul had been trying to kill David, David did not disrespect his position, Saul's position.
Exactly.
And he honored him.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even mm-hmm. with people around him telling him, you need to kill him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
He'd kill you, given the chance, you need to kill him. And God is the one who's delivering this kingdom into your hands, David. You don't need to keep respecting Saul. That's a done deal. But David did what he believed was right in the sight of God, and it is an example to us.
Mm-hmm.
It's an example to us. If God wants to turn something over to you, don't you think he knows how to do it?
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes.
Does he need you to murder for that to happen?
No, not at all.
Mm-mm.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
But sometimes we just get fed up or it's too hot in the kitchen and we just want to take matters into our own hands. That's not godly.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
It's not godly.
Amen. Amen.
And in leadership, godly is super important.
Yes.
It's bad enough how you live reckless Christian lives, but when you get caught and called.
Mm.
Now it's time to be godly.
Yes.
Yes.
Make sure your decisions are godly. And here I want to tell you,
thank you.
He helps you.
Yes.
He will help you make godly decisions. He will help you hold your tongue. He will help you reprocess it before you act.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you have an anointing on your life that's going to give you what you need to accomplish what he has for you to do.
Yes,
Lord.
He's not going to call you into something and not give you what you need to be able to accomplish what you need to do. And one of those things is to live godly.
Amen. Amen.
You can't keep mirroring the world on the fence halfway.
Amen.
But he'll help you. You'll say, well, I can't stop this, or I don't know if I could really do that. You can, because he's given you what you need to do it.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So we talked about that. We talked about how important it was to be respectful to one another. The multitude remained silent. Peter ends up speaking, and that's where we're going to take up and on 16. We're in Acts 16, 15, the 16th verse.
Right. I'm going to start at 15, if you don't mind, just to intro into that. No?
No problem.
Okay.
No.
Oh, no problem. Okay. I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, don't me know. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written. Verse 16. After this, I will return and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things.
Hold on one sec. We're going to stop right there. I want to clarify. I will rebuild, and he's talking about what was to come, and he's talking about the prophets of old that are prophesying, and he's saying, I will rebuild the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will rebuild its ruins.
Yes.
He's talking about the new church.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Yes.
We have the nation of Israel that are supposed to be the children of God, that are supposed to be gathered in a place and be establishing the kingdom here on earth begin to show people and lead people into a relationship with the real God, the one and only Almighty God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the creator of all things. That's what Israel was supposed to be, a lamp in this dark world that Satan took over in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, the children of Israel just fell right on into what everybody else is doing. And it was in ruins. And it was in ruins many times. We had the Babylonians come in. We've had Amorites. We've had all kinds of nations that have subdued Israel because they were disobedient to God. But he's saying, then he raises up a king, among them was a heart after his own heart, and that would be David. Yes. But even David's kingdom appears to be in ruins. But the promise that went out to David was that from your seed is going to come something different. And that from that seed came the new church, the church that we're talking about right now, the church that is growing right now and being spread by the apostles and all that are becoming disciples, and it's taken off, and that's what he's talking about here, that this will be brought up again, that the rest, the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. That's what our purpose is. It's not good enough for you and your little church friends to know all about it. Mm-hmm. You're here so the rest of the people.
Come on now. Amen.
The very people you say, oh, they're clearly not a Christian. I don't want them over here. I don't want them at my house. No, that's the very people you're sent here for. So that the rest of the world, now this new tabernacle, this new church, what an amazing thing. So Peter is saying, well, okay, first of all, Peter knows the scriptures. I don't get the impression that Peter started thumbing all through his Bible and looking up a concordance. Where's my Bible dictionary? What's going on here? Peter knew his word. And who brought that to him? The Holy Spirit. So he is seeking wisdom from God. How do I deal with the circumcision issue? With what they're trying to bring back in, which, I don't know, I'm not sure. And then the word of the Lord comes to Peter. And Peter begins to recite the word of the Lord.
Amen.
And this is what he says, even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord who does all these things.
Hallelujah.
Yes, there are Gentiles that are called by his name. What do Gentiles look like? Gentiles are a godless people. Now, what does a godless people look like?
The world today.
The world.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a godless people looks like. Okay, continue, please.
Sure. Acts 15:18. Known to God from eternity are all his works. Therefore, I judge that we should not trouble those from among the Gentiles who are turning to God, but that we write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, from things strangled, and from blood. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath.
Continue. Stop here for a second. So what did they come up with? Now we have, 670-something or 760-something. I don't remember. But we have that many laws that are written. Go to Leviticus, count them for yourself. Ask Google it. There's all of these laws that are written that all of these people, the Jews, consider the laws of Moses that they have to obey. But remember last week we talked about that they built a fence around the laws, and that's how it culminated into so many laws. You know how we do, how we overdo it?
Yep.
We call it doing too much. So it starts out with 10 commandments, and before you know it, we're up to almost 700 laws. Okay. to make the laws the law and make sure, okay? But here, Peter has condensed it down and said, okay, well, in light of what he just said in his word about the Gentiles coming in, let's not make this more difficult than it has to be. I judge that we should not trouble those among the Gentiles that are coming in. What is he saying here? He's saying as a new believer is coming to Christ, will you please not beat them up with a million things they ought to not be doing?
Amen.
They're coming in from the world. Yes. Where are they coming from? The world. Where? What does that mean? Godless.
Right. What are they going to look like? The world.
Exactly.
And that's the biggest one that churches used to do in the old days is the way you dress.
Yeah, well, the way you dress, but they anything else they can come up with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That extreme end was the that group.
Right.
Was, oh, wow, you're dressed too long to make it too. You got to make one. That lipstick.
But you should.
Exactly. But what did he condense this down to? He comes up with, and he's led by the Spirit, people. He's led by the Spirit, so if you don't like what he has to say, take it up with Peter when you get there. And no, you have to take it up with the Spirit of God because he's speaking through Peter. He says, let's not trouble them with all this other stuff. They're Gentiles that are coming in. But write to them to abstain from things polluted by idols. Why do you think that's the first thing that's mentioned?
Because
abstain from things polluted by idols. Because we know today all we have to do is say our grace.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We say our grace because later Paul is going to teach that you can eat whatever you want to eat. Just say your grace. Yeah. But why is he telling that to them now? Why is Peter saying this right now? Because he's trying to help a newborn. Hear me now, the newborn, a brand new convert, a Gentile who doesn't know anything but idol worship. Mm-hmm. He's trying to ease them away from their God.
Wow.
Ease them. There's not a whole lot coming here. I'm only giving you three.
Right.
And idol worship was so prevalent and ingrained in them that it was critical that they start backing up from the idols.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
I can see now because Holy Spirit just told me why he would do that. Why idol worship of all the things to come up with? You could have come up with a lot of stuff, but number one, idol worship. Because that's where that stronghold of demonic force in their lives is tied. So start backing up. Don't eat food. Did he go, hey, don't worship them, don't do this, don't do that? No, he didn't go into it. He just said, don't eat any food offered to idols. Can we start there?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just start there? Because the Holy Spirit's going to lead them to detest the things of the adversary. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take time before they detest the things of the adversary. The Holy Spirit has to do that. So I'm just going to give you a little step because the Holy Spirit is the one in their lives that's going to make the big steps. Here's your little step. Don't eat food offered to idols. They don't have faith yet. They're just brand new babies from the world. So Paul's going to later address that, but he's talking to people of faith. Established Christians of faith. And he says, don't worry about that. I mean, but if somebody's going to cause somebody else to stumble, hey, then don't do it. But, you know, between you and me, if you want to eat food offered to idols, I don't care. The Holy Spirit's not offended in that. Say your grace. Give thanks for all food. That's what Paul's going to tell you later if you're mature. This person, these people coming in right now, they're not mature yet. Next thing. Abstain from sexual immorality. Oh, ow. Hard one. Because you know that the way the world teaches, and this is not new, so you want to get all worked up, oh, gee, the immorality of the world is so bad. This is the world that's always been. As a matter of fact, it was, you know, before witchcraft was forced underground, children's sacrifices, burning them on altars, was acceptable and was still in the cultures going on right now in this world that that Peter is addressing. So he says to abstain from sexual immorality. What's going on there? We all know that that's a hard one for anybody who's opened the door. And you know that these Gentiles coming in have already opened the door, right?
Right.
They're coming in out of the world. So was being a virgin important to somebody who's never heard about God? No, it is not. And yet he's asking them to abstain from sexual immorality. Then he goes on, from things strangled and from blood. Does anybody know why he, and now, he brings up sexual morality, immorality, which is a very, is a difficult thing. But he's telling them to abstain from it. You're a new Christian. You want to get that part of your life straightened out. What does this tell me? It tells me how important to God treating your temple the way it's supposed to be treated is. That's what it's telling me. It's telling me that of all the things he could have come up with, he brings up sexual immorality because that is very important to God. Hard word. Nobody wants to hear it.
That's the truth.
But it's coming straight out of God's word.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he's saying. He's saying how you're treating this vessel that you've now asked my spirit to abide in is very important to me. So I'm only picking three things. And number two is let's try to get our sex life right. Let's try and get our sex life right. Sexual immorality, just in case anybody doesn't know what it is, consists of all manner of perversion, consists of pornography. Of course, fornication, adultery. He's saying this is actually very important to me that you get right. This is a sin I'm asking you to work on. Get to it. Do what you can. Okay. From things strangled and from blood. Why from things strangled and from blood?
Is that motive?
No. You know, let's say, for example, a chicken. Things strangled. He's not talking about murder. He's talking about animals. So things
animal
strangled.
Sacrifice.
Why things strangled?
Mm.
First thing I'm telling you is pull away from the idols. Second thing I'm telling you is your temple is very, very important, and do not defile your temple purposely, because both of these, all three of these deal with defilement of the temple.
Okay.
Now, why things not strangled? Because when you kill an animal a certain way, it emits poison.
Oh.
If you kill an animal a certain way, it will poison the animal. Adrenaline will poison the meat.
Wow.
Do we know all that back here? 2,000 years ago? No, they didn't understand that. But the Lord is saying, no, you're going to be poisoning yourself if the animal is killed in an inhumane way. If the animal is killed by strangulation, that's not a very kind way to kill an animal. If you're killing an animal to eat. Matter of fact, Richard brought to my attention recently, the Lord says to care for one another, and then second, he talks about care for the animals. He knows that we're going to eat animals. He's got no problem with that. But how the animal is killed, he has a problem with. And what he did is he put a mechanism in the animal that if you kill it in a cruel, torturous way, it's going to emit enough poison that you're defiling yourself. You'll get right. sick yourself if you eat an animal that's being strangled. And you say, well, that happens all the time. And, you know, God's grace is covering a lot of things. And some of our infirmities that we wouldn't even know we have are coming because of the way the animal may have been treated or how the animal was murdered.
Mm.
So I'm trying to tie together. I see three things, and all three of them have to do with that temple.
Mm-hmm.
Abstain from food offered to idols because that's the stronghold. Sexual immorality is a sin against the body and usually a sin against somebody else's body on top of that. And now he's saying from being strangled and from blood. Why is he saying, and he ties those together, being strangled and from blood. Why the and from blood? Same reason as strangled. All of our impurities run in our blood. So those of you who really like your steak rare, you might want to rethink that because it's the infirmity. Yeah. Uh-huh. The diseases of the animal is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So when he's telling you, please do not eat your meat bloodied. Do not eat meat that has blood pouring out of it. It's full of the infirmities of that animal. So we have three consistent things, and that is all Peter says. Abstain from food offered to idols, sexual immorality, and from blood. Okay, go to verse 21, please.
I do believe we're on 22, Acts 15:22.
Just go straight back to
the apostles. I'm sorry?
But
go back to 21? Absolutely. For Moses has had throughout many generations those who preach him in every city, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. Then it is pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. They wrote this letter by them, the apostles, the elders, and the brethren. To the brethren who are the Gentiles in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Farewell.
Amen. Amen. So after the group decided what to tell them that are being pressured and to be circumcised, and they all in one accord were in agreement, then they send Barnabas and Silas and down to Antioch with Paul to tell these people in person. But until we get there, I'm going to write a letter that's going to go before me so we can put this fire out before I can even get there.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So they prayed, they got an answer, and now they're sending the answer to those being tormented in Antioch and, you know, the various regions that they had ministered in.
Syria and Sicilia.
Yes. So they bring back, so they go and they bring the answer. And they said, what is that word? We will not burden you with. It brings my mind back to when Jesus was speaking and talked about the Pharisees and Sadducees putting yokes about people's necks that were just too heavy.
Yeah.
And what were those yokes? The law. They were putting the law around their necks so that they could not possibly be victorious in any area. It was impossible. And then here we have it again. Now we are redeemed from the law. We have grace that we stand on, mercy that he gives, and a new covenant that he's established. And we will not allow people to come back in and start placing a new yoke around your neck. So we will not burden you with all that, what you can do and what you can't do, and what living holy looks like, and what living not holy, and all of that stuff. Now, am I saying that new saints don't need to be taught?
No.
Nope. They do need to be taught, but there's a difference between teaching and burdening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a difference. Mm-hmm. Are we supposed to talk about sin and redemption and what sin looks like?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Yes.
But when we have newborn believers, if that's who you're counseling, if that's who you're walking with, that's who you're evangelizing, that's who you're pastoring. Remember we talked about weeks ago how important it is to consider the audience?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If your audience is a bunch of babies in Christ, as this would be, you're not going to have an entire sermon wrapped around what you should and should not do.
Amen.
That's too hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How about you help me understand who Jesus is? Mm-hmm. How about you help me understand grace and my need for the Holy Spirit in my life? Mm-hmm. Because once that happens, once that person is filled with the Spirit will help them in all those areas. I've had people come up and ask me questions. I didn't have to go telling them nothing.
Amen.
Well, mm-hmm. is it true that I shouldn't this or I shouldn't that? Well, do you think God's pleased with it?
Hmm.
Well, probably not. Look at the difference.
Yes.
Instead of me walking up saying, well, you shouldn't be putting slits in your eyebrows. I don't know who told you to do that. That's not a good idea. That's way too, you shouldn't be wearing this. You shouldn't be going there. You shouldn't be doing that. Believe me, when God pulls you out of the world, you have no desire to go back in it.
Amen.
But does he pull you out instantly? For some, he does. Others, he doesn't. So they begin to ease into their walk. He says, who are you to judge my servant? For I will finish the work I've begun Amen. In them.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
What a blessing.
Yes.
Yes.
What a blessing that it is not our job to beat people over the head with what they ought to be doing and what they ought not to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Our job is to lead them to Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Let them know that there's a place of mercy and grace. And I know your life is in shambles, and I know that you're in bondage. You can't come, if you're in the world, that's where you are. You're a slave to sin. Do you have to ask the question, is the person in bondage? No, you don't.
No, exactly.
Of course they're in bondage. They're a slave to sin.
Right.
They're doing things that they're not proud of. They're doing things that they wish they weren't doing. They don't have control in areas of their life. And when I say don't have control in areas of your life, the first thing people think of is, oh, yeah, drugs. How about your attitude? How about your temper? How about that thing that wells up in you that ought not?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of areas that we don't have control in our life because we're living in a sin-filled temple.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord.
The flesh is full of sin. Its DNA is sin.
Yeah. Say that.
So he's got to give us something supernatural to live within us to begin to break the bonds of the sin to our soul.
Amen. 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 Amen.
That's what he's doing, breaking the bond of sin that it has on our soul.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit has to do that. Amen. And he starts pushing things out and cleaning you up.
Yes.
And that's what God will do for you.
Yes. Thank you,
Hallelujah.
What a beautiful
thing.
Thank
you, Lord.
Yes.
But if we can get the visual leadership on this phone, if we can get the visual as to that's what is happening and that's what needs to take place, then what should your number one goal be?
Hmm.
Lead them to Christ and get them filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes, hallelujah.
The teaching will come.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Even in the worst case scenario, if the teaching has to come from the Holy Spirit himself.
Hmm.
The teaching will come.
Preach.
So let's get our focus correct.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We think, we're bringing in teenage girls. They don't know this, they don't know that, and I'm going to tell them what they need to do, what they don't need to do. Why don't you meet them where they are?
Amen.
Yes.
Why don't we meet the people that we're going to minister to where they are instead of trying to drag them to where you are?
Mm-hmm.
They can't make that journey. Holy Spirit has to bring them. So you just go meet them where they are and start by showing love. Be an example of Christ in their life. And then you can minister and lead them to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And they're listening because something about you, they think, but it's really the Holy Spirit in you. Something about that Spirit makes them want more.
Amen.
Let God do the supernatural parts.
Amen.
He's quite capable. And I'm really, really grateful. What a great reminder. Verse 30.
Acts 15:30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had heard it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets, also exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles.
Let's stop
however,
there. One sec. So what do we see here? Soon as they delivered the news, what happened?
They rejoiced.
They rejoiced.
Strength.
Imagine how many were already kind of digging in and saying, well, they're going to talk about, I'm 42 years old. They're talking about I have to be circumcised. That's not going to happen. When I signed up for this, that's not what they were talking about. Now they're coming back talking about I need to be circumcised. They're changing the rules on me. So if I want to be a part, I want to be a Christian. I do believe that Jesus was the Messiah, but now you're telling me this and telling me that. I don't want to be a part of your church. I believe there's a God, and maybe Jesus is the Messiah. I'll talk to him myself because I'm not going to your church because I can't bear what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Now you're trying to tell me this and tell me that. I can't do all that. So imagine the joy that filled their heart when they realized, oh, there is still a place where I can go and learn more and grow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to be circumcised because I wasn't going to do that anyway. So they rejoiced how happy they were. And I imagine because they were being caused to stumble. That is why they sent the letter ahead of them.
Amen.
Because they were already getting themselves worked up into leaving and not wanting to hear anything else. You didn't tell me that when you told me about this Messiah that could forgive us and welcome us into his kingdom.
Hallelujah.
Didn't tell me that you were going to come up afterwards with a bunch of do this and that. So they were already, and the Holy Spirit knows that they're getting rattled. They're starting to fall away as fast as they're too new. They're so young in Christ. But God, so he leads them, send the letter ahead. Send the letter ahead to stop this. And they began to be encouraged.
Yes.
Judas and Silas themselves being prophets also. So remember we talked about the fivefold or the five different leadership callings that are on the leaders of the church. And prophets is one of them. And what is another role of the prophet that we can see here? Exhortation.
Mm-hmm.
Exhortation. They are prophets. They began to lift the people up with words that lift, mm-hmm. that encourage, that bring hope. Mm-hmm. That's exhortation. Now, are these just words that lift and encourage and bring hope? No. These are words from the Spirit of God's gift. This isn't just somebody who tries to always say something nice. No, no, no. These are prophets, so when they're speaking, the words have a supernatural effect on the hearer.
I'm all peaceful God.
So here we see it again, how the church is complementing each other in whatever gifting God has given. They are prophets. They strengthen the brother with many words. Does that tell you something? Everybody that is called and the Holy Spirit is working through, your words are supposed to strengthen the family of God.
Amen.
It's supposed to lift and strengthen and gird up, and people are supposed to come out with extra strength. Extra strength for what? Somebody please tell me.
Extra strength to endure.
To endure, to do warfare, to stay the course.
There you go. Endure warfare and stay the course. So what does that also tell you? You need to be strengthened.
Yes.
Yes.
Remember when we first started speaking 5 or 6 years ago, we would talk about now flip it.
Right.
So if this is what is strengthening the brethren and lifting them up and encouraging them, then what else should you see there? It's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
It's necessary. That's not just the extra, that's the necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be lifted up, encouraged,
mm-hmm.
and strengthened. Yes. Everyone on this call needs to be lifted up, encouraged,
Amen.
And strengthened,
yes.
because it gives
yes.
us what we need.
Yes.
And we get mm-hmm. it from one another, not just God.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Okay, verse 34.
Acts 15:34. However, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. Paul and Barnabas also remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Then after some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they are doing." Now Barnabas was determined to take with them John, called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work.
Okay.
Then the contention...
We're going to stop there because we're going to revisit this next week. We'll start at verse 36 next week. We're going to get into some of the division, discrepancy, some of the things that happen between people in the church.
Yeah.
And
okay.
we'll deal with that because it's real. You're going to have this with each other.
Mm.
You're going to have disagreements among one another. We're not going to visit that today. We'll take it next week. So we'll stop 34. Lord, add a blessing to the reading of His word. Any comments? Any questions?
Very
timely. Word, that we have an obligation, and that is to live out His word, of course, but to share it with others.
Yes.
Be mindful who we're sharing and who we share it with. If they're new believers, treat them with mm-hmm. that simplicity mm-hmm. of the word.
Mm-hmm.
No, don't labor them with all the laws and things that you should and should not do.
Mm-hmm.
And
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Any prayer requests or comments?
Yeah, Alexandra has a prayer request. I want to pray for Russia, Korea, and our nation. Please.
Amen.
Thank you. And, of course, healing for Carol.
You know, I have something before we move to prayer. It's, you said there was three things that we're dealing with, and it may not be totally accurate, but there was something that you did say that hit and that nailed exactly. We were talking about by idols, and I wrote the idols is a pathway. If we don't sustain from them, it's a pathway that the mind stays connected to. So I said idols, the mind, is the battleground. Because you stay connected in the mind is still dealing with the idol, so it's a battleground that seeps down into where the body, which is the sexual immorality, and you said the temple. Now I said, well, that's a tie back to that. And then I thought about the blood. The blood is where everything is pure. That's the spirit. That is the soul. So I thought that was really nice, really unique, and just jumped off the pages to me because of that, how we must be conscious of those things. Those three things are so.
I like what you said, Richard, conscious. And then we have to be intentional in our actions. I teach my students that it takes 500 millimeters of a second from a thought to become an action. And I snap my finger that quickly. That's how conscious and mindful and intentional we have to be about doing God's business. So thank you for summing that up. I received that. Thank you.
Good God. Praise be to God.
And we spend a lot of time, this is something that we spend a lot of time talking about the lost and talking about how to minister to the lost. But please let's not neglect the household of faith.
Amen.
Remember that we all need encouragement and strengthening. All of your doing is not only for the world, but for the household of faith as well.
Because
going out doing the work, just like you're going out doing the work, and it's a daunting task.
Jesus, don't you know?
Darkness, constantly pressing against darkness, and you've got to get refilled. And we should be lifting each other up and keep each other strengthened. And how are they strengthened? Through the words. That's what was coming. Right there, right through the words of the prophets who had the gift of prophecy. But that doesn't mean God doesn't speak through you, whether you're a prophet or not.
Amen.
Open your mouth and be willing to be used.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Okay.
Father, we are so thankful that you've given us your word today, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It is our sword, Lord God, that we can do battle with in the battlefield of life that we're living, Lord. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the encouragement, Lord, that you've given us today. We thank you for the strength, Lord God, that you poured out into us, your Holy Spirit, letting us know, Father, that we are in a warfare, but, Lord, the war is already won. We just have battle.
Yes, hallelujah.
Victory is already ours because Jesus sit at your right hand. So praise, glory, and honor to your Father for the victory that we already have on this war. But Lord, in the meantime, we have work to be done. Let's continually, Lord, help us all to continue to pray for one another as we go out into the battlefield, to encourage one another. Their name is planted into our minds to give a phone call, to reach out and touch. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this. I thank you for all that are on this call, Father. I pray that your word has truly just lifted their consciousness today, Father. I pray, Father, that they will remember it, Lord, and not be snatched from the enemy, but they live it throughout this day and every day that you give us, Father. Oh, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we lift up these countries, Russia, Korea, and America, Father.
Yes, Lord.
You see what's going on. You already knew it, Father, before we were even conceived in our mother's womb, that this time and this season would be right now. Father, we have an obligation as your children to tell others about the good news of Jesus Christ, that their souls yes. would not be. Because, Father, we know this world is winding down, and these countries are coming together to make sure it all takes place. Because, Father, it is written in your world that in your word that this time will come to an end. So, Father, I pray for the leadership of these countries, that, Lord, they will not freaking and enslave their people. Lord, that they would give a word that comes from you, Father, to the leadership to transform and renew those that you have that are in these countries, that are in Russia, that are in Korea, that are here in America, Father, that, Lord, your people would stand up. You have people in all these places, Lord. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage and strengthen them to rise up in the name of Jesus to share your word to all that needs to be shared with, Lord. We thank you today for him, Lord, and we pray that you would heal our brother Terrell, Lord God, that you would touch his body, Father. Give him a relief from the pain he's been suffering physically and spiritually, Lord. That, Lord, you would encourage him, Father, today. Let your word, Lord, as it has come out and fill him with it, Lord. Strengthen his physical body, Father, that the pain would be removed. Lord, we're asking right now in the name of Jesus, as we're touching and agreeing, that, Lord, you would heal him, Father. Heal him today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father, because you are a healer. You are our healer. You're not just a healer. You are our healer. So, Lord, we thank you for the healing grace and mercy that you will give to Terrell right now in the name of Jesus. And all of us that may be going through something, Lord, give us that deliverance that we need. Give us that fulfillment that we're asking for today. In Jesus' name I pray, and I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Love you guys, and see you soon.
All right.
Have a wonderful week.
You too. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.